It's time for a more in-depth look at today's news. It's time to find out who's pulling the strings. It's time for the Behind the Curtain podcast with your host, author Jeff Reynolds.
Hi, I'm author Jeff Reynolds, and this is episode 25 of the Behind the Curtain podcast. Before we begin, I want to remind you to check out my new website, www.jeffreyreynolds.net, and Jeffrey is spelled J-E-F-F-E-R-Y. This is where you'll find all of my content from all the different platforms where my articles can be read. Also, I want to ask you a favor. When you go to jeffreyreynolds.net, please sign up for my newsletter. I won't spam you, and I'll send out a couple of emails a month, tops. This allows me to keep you updated on all the cool new stuff I'm doing in 2020. I made it really easy, too. Just go to the website and click on the link at the top that says subscribe to the newsletter. And if you like this podcast, please consider a paid sponsorship. You can help support this podcast with a small monthly donation. The more I can monetize the podcast, the more time I can spend on it, and the better the content will be. Your investment will be a win-win. Go to anchor.fm/behindthecurtain and click on the big old support button right at the top of the page. This week, I talked to Gabe Johnson, a retired Marine who lives in downtown Portland, one block from the Justice Center. He used to believe that Antifa was a lie and that the protests were peaceful, until he went down there to witness the riots for himself. Gabe is not a Trump supporter, but he is a patriotic American who believes that the U.S. flag should unite us, not divide us. He wanted to have a conversation with the protesters and find common ground, but had a rude awakening. He's gone from not believing the protests devolved into anarchy to believing Portland must use as much force as possible to sweep the riots off our streets. This is a must-listen interview. Don't forget to subscribe to the Behind the Curtain podcast wherever you listen to it, and please leave a positive rating. The more subscribers and the better ratings, the higher Behind the Curtain will rank on podcast services like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and many others. Stick around to the very end so you can hear the full version of I Am America, the theme song, by my buddy Brian Futch. Hey, did you know I wrote a book? It's called Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy. It's an examination of the dark money on the left that continues to fuel the worst of the swamp creatures in Washington, D.C. There's a real appetite out there for folks to learn about who's pulling the strings on the left and what their ultimate goals are. I've done several speaking engagements, and I'm looking for more. If you know of any conservative clubs, Republican groups, Tea Party, or 9/12 clubs, or anyone else who would get something out of following the dark money on the left, please email me at jeff@jeffreyreynolds.net. Search for Behind the Curtain, Inside the Network of Progressive Billionaires and Their Campaign to Undermine Democracy in stores or online at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or Simon & Schuster. It's available in hardback, Kindle, or Nook now. Check out whoownsthedems.com for more information. All right. Welcome back to the Behind the Curtain podcast. My name is Jeff Reynolds. I'm your host, and I'm joined today by Gabriel Johnson, who is a, I don't want to say retired Marine. You were in the Marine Corps, and you have worked for the State Department, and you had an interesting interaction with the Black Lives Matter protests in downtown Portland. You live, what, a block away from the Justice Center, is that right?
Yeah, I live one block away from the Justice Center, two blocks from the federal courthouse. And Saturday night, you know, I heard about 82 explosions. And
82?
I counted 82.
Oh, my gosh.
There were probably 20 or 30 prior to that. But at 82, I literally got up out of my bed and...
And what time was this?
3 a.m. in the morning.
Okay, so they're blowing crap up all night long, basically, and interrupting your sleep.
All night long. So, you know, 3 a.m. I get up, and now I'm hit with tear gas.
Oh,
and so, you know, it's tear gas in my apartment, explosions. And the
tear gas got into your apartment?
Yeah, it comes in through the AC vent.
So, oh, jeez.
Being that it's hot outside, you have to leave your AC on, and night, unfortunately, it brings the air in from the outside.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, so I literally stood up and just yelled, oh, my God. I actually yelled, "Oh my effing God."
a little frustrating.
Yeah, you know, and it was just like, somebody has to do something. I don't know what that something is. I didn't at that time. But I knew something had to be done. And I figured I would just sleep on it. When I woke up in the morning, it was clear as day. Almost like it was just planted in my head. This is what you're going to do. Mm. And hopefully we can start a conversation. And here we are now. We are starting this conversation. But I can tell you the experience was an eye-opening. I did not believe what I used to call the rhetoric about Antifa and them being real. I knew that I was thinking that, oh, maybe they're just, you know, some punk kids, whatever.
Maybe some righteous anger in there, you know, expressing themselves.
Yeah.
Kind of the, not quite the Joanne Hardesty line that there is no riot going on, but, you know, maybe it'll just peter out, right?
Right. So I gave them no cred. I quickly found out that that's not the case. I've spent a lot of time overseas, working in other places around the world, and they're utilizing the same tactics that any other terrorist organization would. They've got people that I say spotters with cameras that will follow you around. They've got their thugs. Those are the guys with their baseball bats. They have people that will intimidate you by walking by. And then they have their people in Black Lives Matter attire.
So, and this is all because you went down there just with an American flag as a patriotic American service member and mm-hmm. wanted to try to have a dialogue with these folks.
Just you know, one, what is more, what is more patriotic than our flag? I mean, and what will really just be in your face? America, this is America, right?
Yeah. And so you actually wanted to push back a little bit.
I wanted to have a conversation so that they would understand that what they're doing is tearing the country apart. They're not bringing it back together. And hopefully by showing this community that we live in, that not only can we make a stance, but it's time to start a conversation, and it's time to unite America, because with the Black Lives movement has turned into something else.
Right.
Antifa has attached itself to this movement now and has taken it over. You can't have a decentralized voice, and that's what we have.
With Black Lives Matter. What do you mean by that?
Black Lives Matter operating in all these cities around the country. Mm-hmm. And they all have a separate voice. They don't have one voice. They don't have one voice uniting everyone with the same message. So you've got, you know, in Portland, their message is defund the police department by 50%, resignation of Mayor Wheeler. And the third one, I don't know, something stupid. how does that translate to Seattle? How does that translate to Chicago? It doesn't. It's a decentralized movement. And now they've allowed themselves to be infiltrated by Antifa. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, are you aware of some of the people that claim they founded the Black Lives Matter movement and some of their affiliations and what they've said? Because, you know, on the website, it's gotten around that they have some pretty strongly Marxist views and some fundings from some radical progressive sort of organizations, that kind of thing, you know?
And that's why they don't represent me.
Right.
These aren't people that are... worried about the Black life. These are people that want to cause mayhem and destruction and as much interruption and as they can, right? In the name of Black lives,
Right, right. And that's the thing. It's kind of co-opted the movement, right? We were talking about George Floyd for a minute and a half, and then all of a sudden it turned into riots and looting and destruction and mayhem and arson and everything else.
Right, right. It's beyond me how they can sit there and say that they're not causing damage or rioting. It's a riot, and it's real. And when you're on the front line and you're looking back into that crowd, it is an angry mob that is built on doing destruction and as much destruction as possible. And unfortunately, 90% of the people don't look like me, but 99% of the people that I talk to don't even live in Portland. So now, you know,
really?
I didn't realize that. But if you are down here at one of these movements or one of these protests, one of the things you're going to notice is there's a lot of out-of-state license plates. And people are very brazen about the fact that, no, they're not from here.
Huh. Where do they come from?
Back east, Midwest, really? Seattle, California, all over the place.
Wow.
I was really, really surprised.
That's very interesting. I know that in 2016, when Donald Trump was elected president, there were a lot of riots and protests downtown. And I knew of several Uber drivers who told me that they brought people from Seattle to Portland to bolster our numbers because they had enough people in Seattle. So that's par for the course, you know?
It doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me, not at all. Not after what I've been exposed to.
Right. So let's go back to that night real quick. You woke up 3 a.m. with tear gas in your apartment. So what time was it that you went down to the protests with your American flag?
It was about noon. It was about noon. We were putting up the flags, starting to put them up on the fence. And, you know, right away.
The fence around the Justice Center?
The fence around the courthouse, federal courthouse. So we're putting them up there, and within minutes, it's, you know, I got Black Lives Matter people coming over. These are our blacks, and immediately I'm been called a coon, Uncle Tom, N-word. Go ahead.
No, I'm just that's ironic that they would use that term derogatorily for a guy who's, you know, there to have a dialogue. That's shocking to me.
And just so that we can be straight, it was the N-word with the E-R, not A.
Right.
So I don't want to hear it.
Yep.
E-R.
Yeah, I got it.
So, you know, I'm talking to some media people, and this young lady comes over and grabs my flag because she could see that I'm, you know, not paying attention. Takes it, runs down the street, throws it down. This 65-year-old black man, I didn't even know he was there until he was coming back with the flag. But he had walked over to this group of Black Lives Matter youth and grabs the flag because they're trying to burn it. And he's walking, you know, back towards me, and he's like, there's no way I'm going to let them burn the American flag.
Wow. Well, good for him. That's awesome. Unfortunately, we don't have enough respect for our institutions among younger people these days.
Yes, but, you know, the thing that was horrific about that is immediately two other blacks started using the N-word again.
With the E-R.
With the E-R. Chased this man down. Punched him in his face. Stomped him.
Wow.
Grabbed the flag. Threw it over the fence.
Oh, my goodness. And this is broad daylight. Noon.
This is broad daylight.
So the line has been basically, you know, it's peaceful protests during the day. As it gets to be later in the evening, it turns violent and arson and all that stuff. But that's not the case, huh?
That's not the case. The case is that they are so bold that they can do anything they want. and there's
and they know the police aren't going to stop them, right?
There is no law enforcement around.
Yeah.
So, you know, after the flag went over the fence, the only response was federal police did come out. I don't know where, man. They just came out of, three cars came out of nowhere. And they started chasing the kid because he had climbed the fence to throw the flag over. So they still were just simply protecting the courthouse.
I see. So they weren't even going to worry about the guy that got punched in the face because that's not their federal guys. That's not their jurisdiction, right?
Right, right. Yeah. So, you know, after not being successful chasing the kid, they came back, went back inside.
Wow.
It was really shocking that actually happened. And, you know, no apologies, no nothing.
Well, they're not going to apologize because they think they're right, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So, you know, I like to say that these are the same kids that got the trophies for third place.
Participation trophy nation, huh?
There you go.
Yeah, yeah. So, all right. I want to go back to Joanne Hardesty for a moment. She's a city councilor here in Portland for viewers who are not aware of what's going on down in Portland, but see it on the nightly news every night. She's come out and said, I heard her at city council yesterday saying that, and she's an African-American woman who's a anti-cop activist that got elected to city council. And she said at city council yesterday that there are no riots. It's a lie. And she put it in really weird terms, like something like, if these kids are out there doing something, that shouldn't detract from the message of Black Lives Matter, and we should never ever stop these people from protesting. What's your take on what she had to say about that?
My take on that is you know, I invite you to come down to my house or somewhere neutral where we can sit down together and we can watch the video clips just of the night that I was there, just of the night that has me standing in between a mob full of protesters getting ready to come in and wreak havoc on the courthouse. I would like her to talk to the two brave Portlanders that stood there with me, that defended me when Antifa came after me with baseball bats, stood in front of Antifa and me, and this woman, her name is Jen, that's all I know, was like, this, you're not doing this. This is not going to happen. It was the three of us in a crowd of 1,000 people. It is a angry mob. It is rioting. I don't see how anyone else can see it any other way. Use your eyes.
Right. I mean, Ted Wheeler was down there 2 days ago and got tear gassed. So you would think it'd be kind of obvious that, you know, these people are actually, some of them have actually gone down there. There was another Multnomah County commissioner, I forget her name at the moment, but she was down there and got tear gassed as well. So it's not like, and so I guess their argument is that it's the federal troops that are causing all of these riots, and the militarization of the police and the tear gas is what's actually causing people to be more violent and to start the riots.
Well, when our mayor was, Mr. Wheeler was down there that night, I do see fires burning on the other side of the fence he's standing up against with tear gas floating around. Okay. So again, how can you say that there's no rioting going on? Did the fires start themselves? They basically took their encampment that they put up on Sunday, all of the pop-up tents, everything, threw it over the fence, burned it. That's not a peaceful protest.
Right.
Those are the people that represent me.
Yeah, and it's not like starting fires in the middle of the street or on the sidewalk in front of the Justice Center is legal.
No. No.
Nor should it be.
I mean, the Elk statue and fountain is gone.
Right.
It was demolished. I watched it burn on Saturday night. Mm-hmm. I think that was the last night, you know. They basically burned it to the ground.
I've been down there actually taking pictures the next morning, and the elk statue's not there. There's a bunch of charred wood and all kinds of stuff from the bonfire that they started.
So it's amazing what's going on.
It's crazy down there. And just to be clear here, you're not a conservative. You're not a Donald Trump supporter. You're not some sort of provocateur, or you're just a guy living downtown.
I'm a veteran that loves his country, that views the flag as, again, unity, safety. It's old glory. Yeah. And so, I'm just a normal guy. I'm a moderate. I vote my conscience. I saw and experienced, lived through wrong going on, and just had to make a stance.
Yeah. So, what's next? What do you think, is going to happen?
I'm going to use this, 2 minutes of being in the limelight just to let people know that, hey, I used to believe that this was a lie, that Antifa wasn't real, that Black Lives Matter was not complacent, and infiltrated by, Antifa. Well, I tell you what, I was wrong, and my eyes are wide open. And so as long as I have a voice that can continue to spread this word, that we have domestic terrorists running around in our streets, I'll do it.
So you think at this point that the city has been derelict in its duty and should clean this up?
There's only one thing that we can do now. And that is, we need to bring back the Portland police. We need to empower the Portland police to do their job. We need to lock down downtown. No more protests. We need to put up the wooden horse barriers and put them in the street. And if you don't live here or work here after 5 o'clock in the evening, then you can't be here.
So you're saying curfews.
We need to start making it safe so that the businesses can come back, so that the heart of our city can come back. And the only way to do it is a show of force.
Yeah, that's really true. And I was down there a couple of weeks ago. I live in Gresham, so I'm not down there every day. But a couple of weeks ago, I was curious. I went down there right around 7:30 a.m. So between 7:30 and 8:30, right at what's supposed to be rush hour. Right.
Yep.
I'm out there taking pictures. There's no traffic at all. Now, a lot of that's because of the COVID-19 lockdowns and all that, and people aren't going into work, they're telecommuting and all that stuff. But a lot of it is, a lot of those businesses are just not able to be open because of the violence. And you see it, there's it's heartbreaking. I can't even imagine living down there, but all of the buildings have plywood all over them. None of them are open, or if they are open, they're boarded up, and they have separate entrances. It's terrible down there.
Yeah, you can't tell that they're open unless they have an open sign.
Right.
And it's bad enough with COVID-19. We need to bring back law and order to our state, to our country, to our city, and get things going again. We really have to put an end to what's happening.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely true. It's completely unsustainable, and at this rate, there's no end in sight, and this is going to go on as long as they continue to allow it.
Or until the citizens say enough is enough.
Right. Yeah. I don't know, man. I tend to be a little bit cynical on these things, and realize that Portland voted in Chloe Udalde and Ted Wheeler and Joanne Hardesty and those types of folks. And I'm not sure that we have the stomach as a city, as citizens of the city to actually put our foot down.
There are thousands of citizens and veterans that are tired, that have reached out to me, that have said, hey, if I'm willing to go down there again, they're willing to come there and stand, you know, for justice and peace and for the end of this rioting. Yeah. 1,000 of those people standing their ground would probably force some hands in this city.
Well, certainly, and if it turned ugly, then the city would have no choice, right? You would think they would have to do something at that point.
Well, they would probably say that, you know, veterans were down there inciting a riot with American flags, but you know, what else can you do?
Yeah,
how else do you take your country back?
That's exactly right, and that's what the flag is supposed to be, as you've mentioned several times, and that's I've often longed for that to get back to that as Americans, where the American flag is what unites us and doesn't divide us. And when they lie about the American flag and say it's a symbol of racism and hate, it drives me insane.
Yeah, I mean, if you drop somebody in a foreign country and you left them there for 2 weeks, and you drove a car past them with an American flag in the back window, oh my God, they would run to you and be like, oh, I'm so glad there's another American, right? So you take that experience. And I mean, it shouldn't take that much to bring back patriotism. But you know, it's where we're at, you know? Damn, there's nothing more beautiful than the red, white, and blue.
And I agree with you 100% on that one. And all you need to know is that when Hong Kong was having their pro-democracy protests last year, they sang the national anthem, they read the U.S. Constitution, and they waved American flags as the global symbol of freedom and liberty for everybody.
Yeah, yeah. I agree. It's too bad that we haven't taken it back.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on that. And maybe someday, man. What do you think ought to happen with some of their demands about racial injustice and police brutality and those sorts of issues that at least they started protesting?
Well, you know, we have a black police chief, mm-hmm. and one of the things that he said when he came into office is that appointed as chief of police, yeah. is that one of the things he was going to bring back was community policing. And I remember back in the, you know, I want to probably late 90s, mid to late 90s, and maybe as far back as the mid 80s, that community policing was a big thing. You used to know who the cops were in your community. You used to see them. So by knowing that these people and these professionals that are there, goes a long way when it comes to trust and trust with the police. I think that since so much has been, so big of a spotlight has been put on this and put on this issue, we need to give it a chance. It's not going to happen overnight. You're not going to, in every profession you have bad people, right? And so weeding them out takes a really long time. But we have to start the process, and I think black leaders need to actually stand up and lead, and if they're not, then they need to get out of the way, just like everybody else. Right. I don't know. Maybe we need to start over, but we need to do something.
Yeah, absolutely. I find it interesting that the new chief, and I'm blanking on his name, but he used to be a school resource officer, and now Portland Public and David Douglas and Park Rose are all pulling their school resource officers because they think it militarizes their schools and it causes violence in the schools. It's just absolutely backwards thinking.
We had, I think in 89, I graduated, and I think it was the second year that we had resource officers in the school. And I can still remember his name, Tony Williams.
Nice.
Great guy. Great guy. Always, you know, just made sure that, you know, the kids that that needed a little bit of extra help and motivation to get to class and to, you know, not be skipping, not being down in the, you know, in the smoking area or whatever, that those things were happening.
And back so, when there was a smoking area in high school.
Yeah, right, right. Oh, my gosh. Did we just age ourselves?
Yep, totally. I'm 48 as well. I'm class of 89, so yeah.
Yep. There we go, there we go. So you remember the smoking areas.
Yep.
but they were there, and I think they were a resource. I think that kids nowadays just, you know, want to believe that all cops are bad, and that's not the case.
It's kind of a fad, isn't it?
It is amongst the youth. It is.
Yeah. Yeah. So there was a school resource officer in Aloha, I think it was, who. A little girl in fourth grade, I think, went up to him because she spoke Spanish. He spoke Spanish. So she knew the guy because he was there every day in school. So she felt comfortable going to him and speaking to him about sexual abuse that she had suffered. And that was the only reason why they caught the guy and put him away for 20 years was because she had a school resource officer that she could go to. That just happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that's amazing. That's amazing. It's a perfect reason why we shouldn't get rid of them.
Yeah.
I did notice today I was looking at some news, and I believe a football coach over at, he's either Madison or Cleveland. I think it was Cleveland. Okay. Got let go because he's a Portland police officer.
You're kidding.
No. So you're a high school football coach and you can't coach anymore because you're a police officer.
That's insanity. That's absolute insanity.
Yeah.
Unbelievable. Well, we got a little, okay. I just got a notification that the meeting will end in 10 minutes. So, and our half hour is up, but, all right. Gabriel Johnson, I really want to thank you for coming on the show today and talking to me about your experience with, the Antifa riots that are going on downtown that you never believed were true until you had tear gas flooding in your apartment and went.
I never believed they were true until I had them in my face.
Yep, that's right. And you were threatened with physical violence, and that's all you need to know. That'll change your mind real quick, won't it?
Yes, sir. Yes,
all
sir.
Right. Well, thanks again for coming on. I really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much.
Thanks.
All right.
Thanks for checking out the Behind the Curtain podcast. I want to thank my buddy Brian Futch for providing me the theme song, I Am America, produced by Cass Anawati. Join us again next time for another episode of Behind the Curtain with Jeff Reynolds.
There shook their heads at such a crazy notion, but deep down in his heart he knew he was right. He cleared the way for you and me. You can still hear his spirit sing, I am a man. There's no price for his country he wouldn't pay. Like
so many others, he fought for the cause with great devotion. Just like his daddy, he led the way. Yeah, yeah, yeah. His stories have faded with his years, but his eyes say it loud and clear. I am America. This land, my land, America. I know one day after I'm gone, someone will carry this dream along. That's what makes this country so strong. I am America. My dad handed down the things he was taught, like loving your neighbor and trusting in God. I am America. This land, my land, America. I know one day, long after I'm gone, someone will carry this dream along, and that's what makes